This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, July 21st. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Today, we're talking about the elements. Well, one element in particular, gallium. It's being used in tech from chargers to screens to electric vehicles. It's speeding up our increasingly electrified world and could enable an array of new technologies. On today's episode, our tech columnist Christopher Mims will explain the power and uses of this mighty material and what it means for the old standby, silicon. That's after these headlines. In the wake of the Colonial Pipeline hack last May, the Biden administration is issuing new cybersecurity requirements for U.S. pipeline operators. The text of the directive issued by the Transportation Security Administration on Tuesday is still under wraps, but it's the first of its kind to mandate specific cybersecurity standards for critical pipeline operators. It builds on an earlier directive that required pipelines to notify authorities when they're the target or victims of cyber attacks. Apple may be the big dog when it comes to smartphones and laptops, but in the streaming wars, it's still a relatively small player. Now, Apple wants to change that. We report exclusively, the company is looking to lease a large production campus in Los Angeles for its growing entertainment operations. People familiar with the matter say Apple told development executives it's looking at several possible locations that could exceed 500,000 square feet. That would complement the company's current arrangement of leasing sound stages around the world. And
5, 4, command and start. 2, 1.
That was the moment the engines on Blue Origin's rocket ignited, sending its first passengers, including the company's founder and world's richest man, Jeff Bezos, to the edge of space. Bezos and three other passengers traveled for a little over 10 minutes, reaching an altitude of more than 62 miles in a capsule that detached from the rocket. The crew experienced weightlessness before the capsule floated safely back down to Earth under three parachutes. Here's Bezos after the landing.
Big things start small, but you can tell. You can tell when you're onto something. And this is important. We're going to build a road to space so that our kids and their kids can build the future.
The Amazon founder is hoping his flight helps kickstart interest in space tourism. Blue Origin has opened ticket sales for future flights and has two more crewed missions planned this year. All right, coming up, a novel material may be the key to making our electronics lighter and faster. We'll look at how it works and what it'll mean for you after the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with. Listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
If you spend any time today looking at a computer screen, or maybe even just staring up at an LED light in your ceiling, there's a chance you're looking straight into the future. The metal gallium may not be as well known as silicon, but its role in our electronics could become just as important, particularly as gadget makers look to speed up charging and shrink the size of their products. On the line with us to explain the potentials of this metal and why there's growing enthusiasm for it is our tech columnist, Christopher Mims. Hi, Christopher. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, Zoe. Thank you for having me.
Can you start by telling me, what is gallium? Where does it come from?
If you've ever seen a magician do the classic disappearing spoon trick, where they take what looks like a normal silver spoon and put it into a cup of hot tea and it melts, that's gallium. It's not that common, but it happens to be a byproduct of extracting aluminum from the type of rock that we get aluminum from. So there's tons of gallium in the world. It's this element that at body temperature is actually looks like mercury. But at 86 degrees Fahrenheit, it turns into a solid. So it's one of these things where you pick it up, it'll literally melt in your hand. You know, it was a novelty for a long time. People weren't really sure what to do with it. It didn't really take off in its current uses until maybe like the early 2000s.
Okay, so what happened then? What changed the prospects for gallium?
So gallium nitride's uses were sort of known about because of the physics for a long time, but nobody knew how to make it pure enough and make enough of it and make it usable until, you know, the early 2000s, DARPA, which is the research agency for the Department of Defense, saw its potential and said, we're going to fund a bunch of researchers to figure out how to make this at scale the same way that we make silicon microchips. And, you know, thanks largely to that funding, you know, we now can make gallium nitride transistors in the same factories where we make regular silicon microchips. We can use all that technology that we spent decades and billions of dollars making workable. And so that gives it this real advantage.
All right. So what is it about gallium nitrate that makes it such a useful material? And why are people so excited about it now?
So the main reason that people are excited about gallium nitride now is that it is becoming cheap and accessible. And that's because it can be made in, with slight modification, the same facilities in which we make modern day microchips for every other purpose. And what it's useful for are what are known as power electronics. Gallium nitride is useful because it can handle much higher voltages than silicon can in power electronics. And it can also switch much faster, which turns out to mean that it can just make these much, much smaller packages in which you can convert electricity. And, you know, that's useful if you want like a small, compact, fast charger for your smartphone. It's absolutely essential if you're trying to build a very small, very powerful electric motor for an electric vehicle.
You mentioned that it's cheap. Does that also mean it's easy to get a hold of?
You know, prior to, let's say, 20 years ago, it really was more or less an industrial waste product because you would extract aluminum from bauxite, which is the rock, the ore that you get aluminum from. And the world makes, you know, unbelievable amounts of aluminum. And then you had all this gallium sitting around that nobody really knew what to do with. There's still a surplus. That's why it's so cheap. You can order some gallium today on the internet and make your own disappearing spoon trick. So the world is sort of awash in it, and we're just kind of finding more uses for it now.
All right, I get it. Gallium is great. But what happened to silicon?
So silicon is very much still with us. Silicon will probably not in our lifetimes ever be replaced as the chips inside of our devices that do the math, the logic, as engineers call it, all the calculating. But there are tons and tons of applications where silicon has been used to convert power from one form to another, so-called power electronics, where it turns out other substances just work a lot better. And now they are cheap enough and reliable enough to replace it. So gallium nitride is a big one, obviously, in consumer electronics. But there are a bunch of other contenders waiting in the wings.
Okay, bottom line, what does this mean for consumers? Will we be seeing more electronics on the shelves with gallium in them?
So today, if you search for GaN charger on Amazon or your shopping site of choice, GaN, that's the shorthand for gallium nitride, what will pop up are these very small, powerful chargers. You can charge your laptop, your tablet, your phone, you know, and your watch all at the same time to their maximum capacity from something that is the same size as the charger that, you know, used to come with your iPod or your iPhone. So that's the most immediate impact. In the medium and the long term, it's going to mean, you know, cheaper, longer range electric vehicles. In the really long term, it's going to mean more and more renewables on the grid. And it will also have other sort of subtle effects, like it makes data centers more efficient, which is not something that we get to measure in our everyday life. But it's nice to know that my Netflix stream isn't taking quite as much electricity as it would otherwise.
Yes, that is definitely a nice thing to know. All right, that's our reporter, Christopher Mims. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can always find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review us. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.